You're listening to WKXL in the Morning. I'm your host, AJ Kearset. It's time for the New Hampshire Business Update with Jeff Feingold, editor of the New Hampshire Business Review. More from them at nhbr.com. All right, Jeff, so we got a couple different things we want to touch on today. A little bit of cyber, a little bit of real estate. Let's start with cybersecurity. Sure. I mean, of late, the big headline from the last few years was Peterborough getting nailed with a ransomware attack, which has really gotten the awareness across the state, I think, on the possibility, because that was millions of dollars they were
I think it was several million. Yeah. And it was a classic situation where somebody just clicked on something that looked like it was a good address, but it wasn't. And actually, there's a piece we ran by Dave Brooks in the Monitor. We have it on our website, that it was really the result of that. This is something that Senator Maggie Hassan's been working on for a while, but this really was the impetus for her to set up this thing where you set up these, you have a cybersecurity liaison between the federal, state, and the state and local governments to help them beef up their cybersecurity. And he specifically mentioned that one of the things they're going to be doing is making sure, hoping to get all the towns in the state, cities and towns, to have .gov at the end of their
That would be amazing. It's just someone that does social media and news and such. It's always a little terrifying when I'm sending links to people. Like, is this actually the city website? Conquered
exactly.
Or whatever. I'm like, this.
And the thing is, people aren't even someone who's working for the town of Peterborough or whatever town could misread it quickly and just click on it. And they're going to try to get that, because the thing is, the bar is much higher to get a .gov address. You know, everybody can get .com and all the other ones, but .gov is a hard one. So they're going to try to get them to move on to that. That's basic. But he's also, this guy's name is Rick Rossi, and he's going to be just working in New Hampshire with these governmental districts. And it's a really good idea. And Senator Hassan gets credit, because she's really jumped on top of this thing for a long time. Because, I've been covering the whole cybersecurity situation, I guess, is if you want to call it that, for several years now, and it's really become extremely serious, because
it really blew up
anybody. It's not just the big bank that's after all that's vulnerable. It's anybody who's vulnerable with this stuff.
Yeah, especially with the Peterborough incident, that was a ransomware attack, and they literally hold your files hostage, and your database is hostage, and you can't get to it. And the reason why they keep these things still exist is if you pay them, you do get your files back.
Yeah,
at the expense of a considerable amount of money, because they read what you're worth.
And the other thing is that this person who clicked on it thought it was a bill they were sending to somebody, and being paying an invoice or thing. And it seemed very legitimate. It looked legitimate, but it wasn't. And so you gotta be somewhat sophisticated. You don't have to be a computer scientist, but you really need to be very aware before you click on anything. I mean, this is just the basics of using a computer, no matter who you are.
Yeah, definitely. And they've been adapting so quickly that every time there's a new someone gets nailed with it, it just progresses across the country, because the hackers realize, oh, this technique works really well. I got it.
It's kind of like the coronavirus variants, Yes. They just adapt. They morph. We've had several articles in our paper over the years, and many in particular now. And it's really something that a lot of small businesses don't really think about. And, they're as vulnerable as anybody.
Yeah.
And they get a lot more, they probably get more email, communications than like just a regular person at home or whatever. And it could be a disaster. It could be put you out of business, or at least shut your business down for several days or weeks.
Yeah, it makes it hard for people to do that. It makes it hard for people to do marketing and sales. Like for me, I'm trying to sell my show to various companies. Like, hey, you want to come on the show, or do you want to possibly advertise on the show? I'm very careful how I phrase it, because these people don't know who I am. I'm asking them to sometimes look at attachments. I'm asking them to reply back and not just let this go into the delete immediately, because they think it's sketchy.
Exactly. Yeah, because we send out at our business, the Business Review and at McLean Communications, we send out many, many emails, you know, marketing emails, newsletters we put out and everything. And we also do things where we send emails to our readers from advertisers. So there's a lot going out there, and we're always concerned about making sure they get out. I mean, it's not, and it, you know, obviously that they're read is great, but you know, at some point, you know, I've seen things where I get an email that says it looks like it's coming from Amazon or something, but it's not. You could tell it's not if you look at it for a second, but if you don't, you just click on it and you don't know what's going to happen to your computer.
Yeah, and the state website, the city websites, and let alone the state websites that I think are worse than the city websites in many situations, they expect you to put money in some of them. Like, I was trying to register my car online. It just straight up didn't work. Like, that, no matter what it did, say, oh, your PIN number is on there. PIN number isn't on there. And then I specifically put in my VIN, the last four, my VIN and my plate number, and it's not on there. So I could easily see just how basic that form is and how crappy it works.
Exactly.
A lot
exactly.
of people go, well, this kind of nicer looking web page must be more legit.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the states have beefed theirs up in recent months, but it's, you know, they entered the 21st century.
Yeah,
when it
much.
Comes to their website.
Hey, the general court system has like the best website compared to any other state agency.
They just kind of a new one. Yeah, it's very nice. Before it was not exactly the most user friendly, but it's much better now. As a frequent user of it, I've noticed that.
It took the New Hampshire Supreme Court what like 20 years to pick Vimeo or whatever, so that people could actually see what's going on in the courthouses. There's some big holes in how the government is operating in the state, just because people don't know. I mean, people go into a government job, they may be there for decades, they don't necessarily think about the latest technologies unless the funding comes. The funding might never come. You got to fight for that extra funding.
I mean, to be fair to those people, you know, the resources have to be appropriated by the legislature, and in many cases it's not, or it's not enough. And you know, they've had antiquated networks, computer network. That some of them weren't even networked for years. They weren't even network computers. And it's taken many, many years and a lot of lobbying to get them to put the money into it. But it seems to be working. I think there's people at the state who are taking it much more seriously. I know the governor is.
Yeah, that's amazing to finally see. I mean, I always dread the days when I, at my full-time job, I got to support someone from the state that's trying to present a PowerPoint presentation. They ask for help. I'm like, oh, I hope you have it installed. Otherwise, this is not going to be your day.
It's not going to be. That's right.
have the feds really kind of offered anything when it comes to the states doing improvements to anything like this?
Well, they have done this. And actually, I do believe in the most recent infrastructure budget, I believe there is money to beef up, specifically to beef up cybersecurity at state and local governments. I believe that's money. Actually, I think Senator Hassan was behind that as well. And so the feds are doing stuff. You know, they're trying to. And I also think maybe in the American Rescue Plan Act, the very first one, I believe, might.
Yeah, there was some stuff in that.
I think there was on cybersecurity, because, you know, it's almost like, you know, fixing up your roads and bridges. Mm-hmm. You should be fixing up your cyber networks as well. You should make them make sure they're secure.
Yeah, it makes businesses want to actually go to your state, because when they're going to look up the information to see what the tax rates are going to be, or what the benefits may be, or what resources might be available, they're going to go, screw this. I'm going to fight whatever horribleness that is the New York state government because I can actually figure out what's going on.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't hold my breath about that, but that's all right.
Well, as a millennial, I mean, I look at, like, I love the insurance department. They advertise on my show, and I partner with them for content. But to go to their webpage, it's painful. I mean, their partners are great. The New Hampshire Navigator program page is fantastic and super helpful. But that main page, I question, like, am I on an archive?
That's a good one.
So, I wanted to. This is something that's been going on in the news for a while now, and I thought it'd be great to pick your brain on it. Finally, it's kind of a quote quiet week, it seems like, for a lot of stuff. But the real estate market has been obviously just fiasco of exploding rates and buying and selling. I mean, something that was in NHBR.com that was published on the 1st is Keene Retirement Community sold for $33 million.
Yes.
And that facility was half empty. I mean, what's kind of your read right now on how it seems like things have kind of leveled out, but what's the real estate market looking like right now?
They really haven't leveled out, because what we have now is a situation where it's not as wild as it had been up until a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. But that if you think about it, that also happens a lot this time of year where things slow down. The interesting thing was last year at this time, it really wasn't slowing down very much, and it was still very much on fire, the market. But right now, it seems that that things are starting to level off, but prices are still extremely high. And, you know, it's at the point now where if I was in the market to buy something, I would think very long and hard about it, because, you know, this at some point you're going to buy it at the height of the market and you might learn to regret it. But I mean, if you have to buy, you have to buy. It's not a decision that you always can stop, you know, not make. But, the prices in New Hampshire for like residential real estate is still about the median price is a $400,000 for a relatively modest house.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money. You're not going to get that money working, you know, even two jobs in many cases. So, it's very difficult. That the height of COVID, people were coming from all over buying houses for cash, and that was just pumping up the prices. And also, a lot of what happened was that we have very little inventory. We still have very little inventory in terms of the residential market, and that's just keeping the prices elevated as well, because there's more demand than there is supply. I think demand is starting to level off a little bit. Interest rates look like they'll be going up somewhat at some point, but because there's still so limited, such a limited amount of inventory, that it's going to be a long time before we catch up. The estimates have been this, 20,000. We need 20,000 housing units in the state that really we could fill almost immediately if we had them.
That's just
housing, and when it comes to commercial and residential. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. The thing about that retirement community in Keene is that it was a COVID fatality. It was a relatively new community. If you see it, it looks really nice.
It's nice looking from the picture.
And what happened was they ended up, they opened up not too long ago. And after COVID, they obviously had some issues, with the occupants, some of the occupants not dying or whatever. And then what happened was they couldn't fill the units. People weren't going in there. So they have they had a situation where they couldn't keep it going. So they sold it to a chain based in Illinois that bought it for $33 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but there are people living in there right now. So it's like, if you look at what the community looks like, it looks like $33 million was probably a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. And, but they had a very, very, very willing seller.
Yeah.
Which is what happens.
Which got out of bankruptcy. They got in bankruptcy court, right?
They're in bankruptcy court. Yes, exactly. They're still not out of bankruptcy court, even with this deal.
Wow.
And, it's a nonprofit situation, and it's really this is the kind of stuff that's been going on all over this country where, with these assisted living facilities or nursing homes really were hammered by this. There are several of the county nursing homes, all of them in New Hampshire. They're really struggling because they're not filled as much. Mostly because they can't find the workers mm-hmm. to serve the people. So they can't bring people in. And it's been a difficult ride since COVID.
And it's a rough quality of life for a lot of residents in these facilities, where a lot of families probably withdrew them because they didn't want their grammy to be living in a isolated room for 20 hours of the day.
Exactly. And not only that, but and also if you remember at the very beginning of COVID, the fatalities were almost exclusively people in nursing homes, especially in New Hampshire. We had a very, very high rate of of death from COVID in the nursing homes.
Yes, thank God for the vaccine, which really curbed that. But yeah, I mean, you'd have to be brave to be getting into that market. I mean, we seem, knock on wood, very fortunate that the Omicron variant seems very mild, at least so far as they're able to
so
tell.
So far, we know that. But you know, but as I said to someone the other day, there's nothing you could predict about this coronavirus. Right. You know, don't assume you know what's going on.
Yeah, changes on a dime.
We thought just a month or so ago that okay, we got past Delta. All right, we're fine now. And then all comes this other variant that's screwing everything up.
Yeah, and the numbers are nuts right now. I mean, they're completely off the rails.
New Hampshire actually, the last I checked, New Hampshire had the highest rate of increase in cases per capita in the country, which is not an honor we had at all at the beginning.
And we're very fortunate that the deaths basically are pretty even. They're at the higher amount, but hospitalizations are up there.
Hospitalizations are extremely high right now.
Which is like it's pushing 400, I think, if I remember right. It's on Thursday, December 2nd when we're recording this, which is high, and the hospitals are having a hard time. The state, I was talking to Anne-Marie Timmons last week from the New Hampshire Bulletin. She was saying that the state's offering assistance in theory to be able to get more staff. But there's no staff that are there to fill these positions, so it's kind of like cart before the horse.
And actually, I believe the Joint Legislative Fiscal Committee, I think, approved some money today to help with the capacity situation, because several hospitals in the state are either at or near capacity. I know that Valley Regional Hospital in Claremont's at 100%, and this is not a good situation because that means it's almost all COVID. And if you have some kind of illness or sickness, you're not going to Valley Regional.
Yeah, and with these COVID patients,
and I'm not talking about COVID, I'm talking about something else.
Oh yeah, just in general. But you have to consider with these COVID patients, they need to be isolated from the rest of the community, so it really eats up multiple beds that they didn't have before.
Exactly, that's exactly right. And then you can get to a whole philosophical discussion about almost all the people unvaccinated who are taking up the hospital beds. And what happens if you're a vaccinated person who gets sick with something else completely different, and you're denied admission to a hospital because someone who refused to get vaccinated is getting treated? It's kind of complicated.
Yeah, we're gonna see a lot of I believe they were saying a lot of like heart condition, cancer patients, stuff like that were just going untreated, diabetics, because they were afraid of going to the hospital.
Yeah, and they're being told that we don't have room for it. We can't deal with you right now. Which if it was me or a relative, I'd be freaking out if someone told me, well, I'll find you have a diabetes problem or cancer or whatever, whatever. But we can't deal with you now. We have to deal with these COVID patients. That would bring out the Brooklyn in me.
Going back to the real estate market a little bit, I mean, are there other communities other than Manchester that look like they're offering space where there's actually places for people to go? Like, are there other parts of the state that are actually building at a decent rate that you're seeing?
No, in terms of residential?
Yeah, residential.
No, there's very little. And the problem is a lot, almost all of the stuff that's being built is what they call market rate. Mm-hmm. So, that's what developers
can afford to do.
So when it's market rate, you're thinking about a rent that's, near $2,000 a month maybe for a two bedroom. And that's not what most people can afford, and actually, one of the most egregious situations is in Portsmouth where developers continue to try to get the city to approve lower, more affordable housing, like micro units and other kinds of things. And they just had one the other, just a day ago, a day or so ago, it was going to be a 52 micro units, which are going to be obviously cheaper just because they're micro.
Yeah, that literally goes against every bit of culture that is New England.
The
whole point of New England is you have a kitchen, you have your little home that you go, it's cold outside, you don't want to be walking to the store for literally every meal. And that's how people like New York City and such live. It's like New England.
But the thing is, that's the way they can get affordable housing in there. And, it's downtown, and, Portsmouth is by far a beautiful city, and it's very walkable, so it's not such a bad thing. But they turned it down. And they're going to have to they're building offices instead with that space. And you can go, okay, I guess they need offices, but They need housing in place like Portsmouth. They need housing in every community in the state.
We needed it in Concord for as long as I've lived down here. I couldn't believe expensive it is on the Loudoun Road, and that's supposedly the more affordable part of town.
Exactly. As I said, it was a deficit of 20,000 units, and it's going to be a long time since we meet that. And the state's doing some stuff when it comes to helping move it along, but they don't have the resources or willing to expend the real resources that are needed to get this off the ground, to really make a dent in it.
Jeff Feingold, editor of the New Hampshire Business Review. Get more from them at nhbr.com. You'll listen to WKXL in the morning at 1450 AM, 103.9 FM, Concord 101.9 FM, Manchester, and nhtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.